Do you know this man, a rugby league player? He just resigned recently. His name is, first name is Jonathan. What's his second name, if you can remember? Sorry? Jonathan Thurston. Do you know this rugby league player? I don't know his first name or his second name. Inglis. What's his first name or second name? Greg. Greg Inglis. So you see, when it comes to the sporting world, we know the Aboriginal figures. But if I was to ask you, do you know of an Aboriginal pastor or an Aboriginal ministry? You would never say one. Why? Because they're not in existence. They're not in existence. So I pray that, and as you pray together, as we try to reach them, may God raise. Next time we talk about a preacher, you say, nah, yeah, I know there's, you know, Pastor Stephen, there's Pastor this, there's Pastor that. So we know of the Aboriginal sporting heroes. We know of those guys. But when it comes to the church or the preachers, there's nothing in existence. So I just throw that as a way to introduce my message and let that be at the back of your mind. And let me just quickly share our thoughts. And with all of that, and I'll put a few things, still talking about our ministry. This is where our heart's desire is. And I'd like you to open to, I couldn't believe when the brother came and read Romans chapter 10. I said, wow, I was telling the children, look at my outline. I want to speak on Romans 10, and they read Romans 10. I was telling my son, look at this. I'm talking about X4, and they're reading X4. And I was saying, both guys who read actually read things that I wrote, you know. And so I said, oh, Lord, it's going to be off you. So anyway, praise the Lord for that. I'd like to read Romans 10 and verse number 1, please. Romans 10 and verse number 1. The Bible reads that... Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You know, that was just a burden and a wonderful desire for Paul in regards to his people. His desire, he makes it very clear. He said, you know, he says in verse number 10, my heart's desire and my prayer to God, and he names it unashamedly, Israel, is that they might be saved. When I was in Papua New Guinea, my heart's desire was that Papua New Guinea was to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I pastored a church for about 21 years, and just that was our desire. I had the privilege of having your pastor come and visit us and preach for us. And so that was my heart's desire. Then God shifted me and placed me in Kalgoorlie. As I look at the people, my heart's desire is that many Aboriginal people would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. While my heart's desire is for Aboriginal people to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I cannot just openly say that, you know, they're my people. It has to take an Aboriginal man to get up and say, my heart's desire is that for my people. When I say my people, they're going to say, no, your people are Papua New Guineans, you know? So when I think about this verse and the way in which Paul would have written and expressed his prayer and his heart's desire for his people, you know, he could have named many other places that he went to. And he said, you know, my heart's desire is for, maybe, name one another place, you know, maybe. Corinth, Thessalonica. Of course, he went there, they started church and all of that. He could have named one of that. But throughout the episodes, he shares about his desire in starting churches there. But verse number one says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. First of all, he's specific about his people. And then he also tells specifically the reason why he was concerned for his people. And he said that they might be saved. You know? There are many reasons why we are concerned for people. Maybe physically they're not doing well. Maybe there's been a natural disaster that the people have been displaced. And there are many reasons why we can feel for people and we can sympathize and we can, for a moment, have a burden for those people. But there's one reason. There's one reason that beats all other reason is at the top of the list, and that is this, that the people would be saved. People would be saved. You know, I thank God, my daughter's telling me, Dad, we would go tracking, we would go witnessing, and you know, I praise God and thank God for a testimony of your church. You know, we look around right now, especially in Australia. I can speak for many other people, but the few people that I've seen, you know, missions is, it's just, you know, you're either dropping missionaries or taking them on. You're either changing soul winning and door knocking to other type of ministries, and you know, those things that have been replaced, or those things have been changed. And one of the reasons is this: when the desire dies away slowly of wanting to see people get saved, because people get saved, then we change our programs to start to soften them in a way where we start to push those ministries that are directly affecting people to be saved. And it's both here or abroad. So he makes it very clear. Then it goes on to make it very clear in verse number 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to the knowledge. And every time I see that, I'm always mindful of the Aboriginal people. Boy, when they talk about God, yeah, I love the Lord. This is one of their favorite statements. Yeah, I love the Lord. And I'm sitting down there and said, yes, the Bible says, yeah, if you really love the Lord and if you name the name of Christ as your Savior, you've got to depart from iniquity, you know? And I said, you've got to depart from iniquity. And so, because the black fellows have this type of thinking that God Sunday and Monday to Saturday, you live your own life. Come back on Sunday and say, oh, I love the Lord. No. That doesn't happen that way. You know, it doesn't happen that way. And you can find out from my children. And oh, well, the line has to be very clear. And but that's one of the reasons why, you know, that I thank God and I praise God for the encouragement that we can get from verse number 2, that we do know that there are people around us who might talk about God, but is it the same God we're referring to? See, the Aboriginal people would talk about the dream time. They talk about, when we talk about God, well, which one are we referring to because of their culture? Now, there's two things that you need to know about the Aboriginal people. One is the mainstream knowledge that we have where it is so negative. Aboriginal people are these, and that. The statistics are not helpful in the prisons. They're more of health-wise, financial-wise, the homeless. You can go down. I mean, the mainstream media has done a good job by really, really rubbishing these people outright. And because of that, people have the same knowledge. They look at them and they look at them and they, no. You know, they live all tax, they live with the dole, they get this, they got to get up and work and all of that. And that's very true. But let me tell you some of the good things about the Aboriginal people. When I was there, when I was in my deepest need, they saw the work, they saw their people and said, Pastor, we'll give you a house. It's not a big house, but we'll make a space. My son-in-law and you, are you happy to live that way? And I said, that's the way we live in Papua New Guinea. and so we stayed with them. When I was able to be deported, and when we went for the court case, one of our church brothers told his cousin brother, told his older brother, could you help us to keep this man? And they got a lawyer to help him. Are they good people? These things are not, this type of things are not published. We go through our toughest times in terms of food and finance and stuff like that. I'm talking about Australia. My Aboriginal brothers go out, shoot a kangaroo and bring it back. They find a goat, they bring a goat, you know. And boy, we just enjoy that. Hands up, raise your hand up if you have tasted kangaroo. Ah, good. Many, many hands. The next time I come, I make sure I bring two for the church, yeah? Oh, man. So you have a choice. The one that's, you know, alive or the one that's dead and gone. No. All right. The one that's alive, they arrest me straight away, you know? Anyway, so they've been there for us in many, many challenging times. Many, many challenging times. For two things. They look at their people. They look at what's preached and teach. You know, I'm always excited when I go to a church and the first two things that I hear is, we're still on the KJV. We're still winning people to know the Lord. Oh, you ask my children. When it comes to those two things, oh, it just excites me. It excites me. You know, we live in a fast-changing world where people are changing a lot of things. I'm thankful that you come to a church, you sit back, and we're still out singing from the hymns. You know, we're still doing those type of things. And I praise God and thank God. But these are some of the wonderful things that are happening that were brought in by God through the ministry. And so when we're going through that, they actually stand up. They actually stand up. They look for ways and means by the help of God, the grace of God, to make sure that we're still there. So, you know, they've done wonderful, many, many lovely things. I couldn't afford a vehicle, so someone had to give us a green vehicle, you know, a green car. And it was just amazing that we were using that. And just a recent time, my late wife passed away, and then I got remarried to a Fijian woman. And then she bought a car after, you know, moving in to us, and then I just broke down, and it was really difficult. You know, in Papua New Guinea, it's different. I pick up a phone, hey, bro, come this way, you know? And it's an open bag, so we all can fill it up. But you can't do that in Australia, you know? You have to find a seat and a seat belt for every individual. And so it's so different in here. So I understand that, and then, you know, you can't always tell people, oh, come pick me up, come pick me up. You have to have your own vehicle, and because everybody's got their own life and everything to do on their own, you know? So the life is kind of quite different. But anyway, and then so a brother comes through that way, and a church gets together and say, you know what, a Christian brother's got the vehicle is about 6,000-7,000, worth about 6,000-7,000. But this Christian brother said, you know what, church, you know, if you can just buy it from me for about 2,000, I can give it to the pastor. So these are good things that maybe are not published, but there are men and women whose lives have been touched by God, and they see the importance of the work, and they see the importance of giving and supporting so that we can remain together and continue with the work. You know, so they've been tremendous help from. So, but here's the thing. In our great zeal, many lack the knowledge of the truth. And so we pray, and it's our prayer that God raise more men. You know, a man is reaching the everyday, training the everyday man, and then sending the everyday man. Two things. One, start a church. If not, I pray that God will bless us sooner with an Aboriginal pastor, and then also sooner with an Aboriginal missionary out here. My children tell you, I continue to emphasize that at home. You know, folks, you just don't have to be locked here. If God puts it on your heart to go out somewhere to go, we might be a smaller church, but I'm sure God's going to still look after you. You know, God's going to still look after you. So, and we see that. Can I take you back to Romans chapter 9, please? Okay. Romans chapter 9 and verse number 1. The Bible says that I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that my kinsmen were accursed from Christ. For my brethren are my kinsmen according to the flesh. You know, it is my desire as I see the Bible, as I see the pattern of that, you know, truly, the reason why we put the Australian map like that, and I put there, it is really, really my heart's desire that God help us reach. We have the children's ministry. We have the teenage ministry. We're praying and praying that God, in the pool of those, and the people in the all in that pool, I just pray that God would one day call one of them to surrender, one of them to continue. And, you know, it's a great burden for my heart. You know, it's many times. You know, I could have left that place. I mean, I told you that we went from home to home. We cleaned that place. I lost my wife while we were here, and there was enough difficulties in there to get me out straight away. I had greater, better reasons to leave and go. Let's go. It'd be easy in my country. You know, I'd be back again now. And, oh, he's Pastor Mo back. You know, he might be looking for a church, or there's a church. It'd be easier to start a church and then build it, you know, and by the help and grace of God. But the burden of these people, my children tell you, I'd sit on the table, I'd pray, and my tears would roll down. I'd do weddings for them. I'd just only a couple. And I'd do funeral services for them. It's not a very day-to-day positive and fiery and encouraging type of ministry. But the burden is the reason why we're there. You know, and I can honestly tell you that sometimes it's a continual sorrow. Sorrow not in a negative way, but the fact that you'll see the people, I mean, the dysfunctional homes, there are four types of authorities for the Aboriginal people. One, they have a child. It's at the grandparents that will raise them. The great-grandparents. If the great-grandparents are not there, the great-grandparents. If the grandparents are not there, maybe the mother. But the reason why the mother's not there is for many, many reasons. Then guess what? When those three authorities are not in place, they get the child, but child protection, Department of Child Protection steps in and takes the child. I mean, every one of us sitting down here, we would never want to see our children be taken away and be raised by authorities like that. But because of the structure and because of the type of homes, because of, you know, what's happened, and it's just been a, almost generational now, you can understand the value of children's ministry and the youth ministry. Because many of them are raised. There are kids who come in there, and once we give them a feed, they would get up and say, can I just get this for my nana? Can I get this for my mom? Get the extra ones. And they go, I mean, I'm talking about, I didn't think that would happen in Australia. I think only in a third world country like mine would happen. But that is happening in here. And so when you see that, it again, when you think of continual sorrow, I mean, your heart continues to break, and you look at this people and God help us. And because many kids are not attended at home, you can see why they easily are attracted by the world. While they're at an early age, their lives are ruined. You can see why at the tender age, they are already exposing the things of the world to, man, it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable, some of the things that are going. But that has all been put together as a continual sorrow in our heart. As we see that, we know that's the reason why we're there. I want to reach these people, want to help and want to encourage them as much as we can. And 1:45 a.m. on Wednesday, I had a young man whom I met when he was, I think, in his teen years until he's gone, become an adult and he's moved to Mandra, Stephen's nephew. He texted me at 1:45 a.m. in Brisbane and he said, Pastor, when you come back, come visit me. I just want to change my life. And then he continued on to share that he's been shattered. He wished he never walked away from the church and God. So it's text messages like that that increase or that continues to affect our heart. That boy, you know, it might be one text message, but boy, it's the text message that God uses to continue to burn the fire in us to remain there and go on with the work. Just prior to me getting on a plane, Brother Stephen was contemplating, you know, just 800, 700 Ks back and forth, and some things of concern. And I just straight away, just bluntly texted back to him. I said, brother, we are either, Mandra, it's your family, we either continue or close the fellowship. You tell me what we should do, you know? I can say that because he's been with me for 9 years, and a test of his maturity. He responds back and says, Pastor, keep it open. I'm sorry for the way I responded, but Pastor, keep it open. Our people, from a black fellow, my family and our people need the gospel, and they need what we have. Finally, for the truth that we hold on to, for who we are, that's what the Aboriginal people need. Government pours so much money into various needs of Aboriginal, And one of the worst things that they're doing, the government doing right now, is this pouring money into activities where the people have to go back to their culture. Their kids who grew up don't even know their language, don't even know where they originally came from. You know, I'm talking about following your tribe and where. But the government pouring money in there, and the schools are now teaching them all the, you know, the Crowberry stuff, they would call it Crowberry stuff, all the traditional things, and tell them to go back to dream time, tell them to go back to that. So it's not only the world that's affecting them, now the government is funding that. And so you can see the battle as we go with the youths and the children, as we do our very best to try to have an impact on that. On the other hand, government is using their force to attract them to stray away from all that we're trying to help them with. So I praise God and thank God for the truth that we hold, and that challenge has to be confronted. In closing, Pastor, we're talking about, you know, prayer and your desire and your continual sorrow. How can we best be of help and support to the work? If there's anything that the church and the Christians can give to us, is if you could please continually pray for us. Please do remember us. Do remember us. And then secondly, when you pray, not only for, pray that God be honored and glorified, pray that we will remain patient. We will remain persistent with the work. And could you pray that we will continue to do the work with never depending on ourselves, but always depending on the power of God to continue. And thank you so much for the opportunity and the privilege of sharing here. And I trust that in a small way, you have a burden for our black fellows here, and then you can really bring us to God, and that God will continue to save, God continue to help them to spiritually grow, and God will continue to have them sanctified so that the message is not blared, the message is not confusing. So the message is not compromised. So I pray that you would pray with us that this fast changing times, that we would remain true to God, and the people of God would recognize the truth, and that they would have a desire to take that out to the rest of the people. Thank you, Pastor. God bless you.